tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around Jesus to hear him. Jesus attracted sinners. They flocked to him. He was like a magnet that attracted them to him. They invited Jesus into their homes to eat with them. Why? In Jesus they found acceptance, forgiveness, and love. No condemnation, only love. Not so with the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. They condemned the tax collectors and sinners. Tax collectors were seen as traitors. They collected taxes for the hated Romans. And they even overcharged their own people, in effect stealing from them. Sinners did not keep all the rules and the regulations that the Pharisees considered to be a sacred duty to God. The Pharisees were convinced that tax collectors and sinners were going to hell. And they had nothing to do with them. No social contact, no business dealings if they could help it. And certainly they would never eat with them in their homes. So you can imagine how shocked they were when this popular rabbi named Jesus associated freely with sinners. This was not done by a righteous Jewish man. It was unheard of. The Pharisees considered these sinners as only good as fuel for the fires of hell. In response to the shock and the anger of the Pharisees, Jesus tells two parables. The first is about a shepherd who searches for a lost sheep. One of his sheep is lost. Now we might think that's a shame, it's a tragedy, but he still has 99 sheep and he needs to take care of them. We would think it would be foolish to leave the 99 and risk them to go look for one lost sheep. But not this shepherd. He leaves the 99 and he goes off to search for the lost sheep. Now, he probably would have been an expert at tracking sheep, but it's still a difficult task in Judea, filled with mountains and ravines. So he hunts and searches diligently. We don't know how long this took him. But finally, he finds the sheep. And he's filled with joy. He puts the sheep on his shoulders and goes home. And then he calls his friends and his neighbors and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep." This is a picture of God. This is what God is like. God searches diligently for the lost. He celebrates when one who is lost is found. Our tendency, like the Pharisees, is to simply give up on people. What hope is there for the hardened criminal? The child abuser, the wife beater, the mass murderers, the scoundrels who take advantage of the elderly or the poor. We tend to just write them off, think nothing of them if they get arrested or if they die. We think they will get what they deserve. But not our God. Every human being is precious to our Heavenly Father. He wants everyone to be found. He wants everyone to be saved. And we're told that there is rejoicing in heaven when the lost are found. Then Jesus shares a second parable about a woman who loses a coin. A silver coin was probably a drachma worth about a day's wages. So that's a significant amount of money. If this woman was living in poverty, as many in Judea did, this was a valuable coin. It might mean whether or not her family would be fed for the next few days or the next week. It's not easy to find a coin in the floor of a Judean home. First of all, it was dark in the home, usually only one window. The floor was usually just beaten down earth, covered with dried reeds and rushes. So it would have been a bit like looking for a needle in a haystack. That coin would have been buried in the reeds and the rushes. But she searched diligently for it, lighting a lamp, sweeping very carefully, looking for the glint of steel among the reeds. And finally she found it. And she was filled with joy, so excited that she called her friends and neighbors and said, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." And Jesus says, in the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Isn't that a wonderful picture? That all those in the heavenly realm are rejoicing over one sinner that repents and is saved. What amazing love our God has for us, for every human being. We are precious to Him. We are His beloved children, and He loves us more than we'll ever understand or comprehend. And that includes everyone. No matter how horrible we may think they are, the horrible, horrible things they might have done, God still loves them. This is called grace. The unmerited, undeserved love that God has for every single human being. Our Heavenly Father wants everyone to be found, everyone to be saved. He doesn't want to lose even one of His precious children. So God searches for the lost. Now we need to understand that this is an entirely new concept in the Jewish understanding of God. This is something remarkably new that Jesus offers. The Jewish people, religious leaders, would never have thought that God searches for people. Now, if you came crawling on your knees to God and repented, certainly God would forgive you. He would have mercy on you. But you had to come to God. Jesus paints a picture of God searching and searching and searching for the lost. And when the lost are found, God rejoices. Heaven rejoices. Jesus teaches us that the kingdom of God is like a party. When the lost are found, heaven rejoices. Jesus describes the kingdom of God as a banquet feast or a wedding feast. Over and over again in Scripture, that's how the kingdom of God is portrayed. A banquet filled with joy and celebration. It's a party that God throws for His children. In the parable that follows this, we all know it well, the parable of the prodigal son. The father throws a party for this son who was lost. He throws a banquet in his honor, filled with joy. And when the Lord brings us home, the promise is that there will be a homecoming celebration for each of us. A wonderful banquet table filled with precious food, filled with our loved ones and our friends, a welcome home party in our honor. The kingdom of God is characterized by the joy of a party thrown just for us. I'd like to share a story in closing. It's one that Tony Campalo shares in one of his books. Tony Campalo is a sociologist, but more so a well-known Christian author and speaker. A very unique personality, too. Tony was speaking in Honolulu, Hawaii, and he found himself with a pretty severe jet lag. 3:30 in the morning, he was awake and he was hungry, so he left the hotel and found this greasy diner. He went in and had a little something to eat. And then, to his surprise, in comes a whole group of prostitutes into this diner. I guess this is a place where the prostitutes came for a late-night meal. And they were all around him, and he heard their conversations. And he heard one woman say, "Tomorrow's my birthday." And another woman said, "Why are you telling me that? You expect me to throw you a birthday party or something?" And she said, "Why are you so mean? I don't expect a party. I've never had a birthday party." The conversation went on. But Tony, unique person that he is, he made a decision that he would throw a birthday party for this prostitute. It was the next night. So when they had left, he went up to the owner of the diner. His name was Harry. He asked the name of this woman who had said it was her birthday, and he said, "You know, I'd really like to throw a party for her. Is that okay?" And he said, "Sure." Harry even offered to bake the cake for Agnes. Her name was Agnes. So Tony got all the streamers and balloons, and the next night he went there early, and he set up the diner, decorated it well, and the word had spread that they were going to have a party for Agnes that night. And so at 3:30 on the dot, the door to the diner swung open, and in came Agnes and her friend, and he had everybody shout, "Happy birthday!" I'm going to read what he says happened next. He says, "Never have I seen a person so flabbergasted, so stunned, so shaken. Her mouth fell open. Her legs seemed to buckle a bit. Her friend grabbed her arm to steady her. As she was led to sit on one of the stools along the counter, we all sang happy birthday to her. As we came to the end of our singing with 'Happy birthday, dear Agnes, happy birthday to you,' her eyes moistened. Then when the birthday cake with all the candles on it was carried out, she lost it and just openly cried. Harry gruffly mumbled, 'Blow out the candles, Agnes. Come on, blow out the candles. If you don't blow out the candles, I'm going to have to blow out the candles.' And after an endless few seconds, that's what he did. Then he handed her a knife and told her, 'Cut the cake, Agnes. Yo, Agnes, we all want some cake.' Agnes looked down at the cake, then without taking her eyes off it, she slowly and softly said, 'Look, Harry, is it all right with you if I mean, is it okay if I kind of, what I want to ask you is it okay if I keep the cake a little while? I mean, is it all right if we don't eat it right away?' Harry shrugged and answered, 'Sure, it's okay. If you want to keep the cake, keep the cake. Take it home, if you want.' 'Can I?' she asked. Then looking at me, she said, 'I live just down the street a couple doors. I want to take the cake home, okay? I'll be right back. Honest.' She got off the stool, picked up the cake, and carrying it like it was the Holy Grail, walked slowly toward the door. As we all just stood there motionless, she left. When the door closed, there was a stunned silence in the place. Not knowing what else to do, I broke the silence by saying, 'What do you say we pray?' Looking back on it, it seems more than strange for a sociologist to be leading a prayer meeting with a bunch of prostitutes in a diner in Honolulu at 3:30 in the morning. But then it just felt like the right thing to do. I prayed for Agnes. I prayed for her salvation. I prayed that her life would be changed and that God would be good to her. When I finished, Harry leaned over the counter and with a trace of hostility in his voice, he said, "Hey, you never told me you were a preacher. What kind of church do you belong to?" In one of those moments when just the right words came, I answered, "I belong to a church that throws birthday parties for whores at 3:30 in the morning." I love that story. That's something you can't make up. God loves to throw parties. And he throws the greatest parties for the lost that are found and the sinners that are saved. I don't know if Agnes ever became a Christian, but I'm sure that party touched her life and blessed her. Would you join me in prayer? What an amazing God you are, that you actually search for the lost, that you actively pursue us when we wander away, that you never give up on us, that you're always trying to find us and bring us home. Lord, we pray that the lost around this world will be found and that the sinners will be saved through the love and the grace of Jesus Christ. And help us, Lord, to share the good news of your love, to be part of your kingdom work in finding the lost and bringing them home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.